This sermon, it could begin in Pharaoh's Egypt, where the families of slaughtered Hebrew children are weeping and wailing, even as little Moses floats serenely in his boat of bulrushes. It could have started in New York City in 2001 on 9/11, where people are leaping to their deaths from sky rises and great buildings are tumbling down, crushing thousands of lives, even those that are rushing inside to help those in distress. It could begin in Bethlehem during the time of Jesus, when even as Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the wise men slip away to safety, Herod sends his henchmen to bring about a minor holocaust, the killing of Hebrew boys in that area. This sermon could even begin before the mist of time, when God brought all of creation into being and said, "It is very good." And yet God also made the decision to create a creation that allowed for real creaturely freedom, allowed for volatility in the created order, and allowed humanity the freedom to disobey and rebel against God's will, and bring evil and destruction and carnage and distress. Wherever we look in the saga of human history, we face a stark juxtaposition. There are those for whom God seems to provide deliverance, but there are also those that God seems to ignore their plight. There are those for whom God operates in such a way they hear the trumpet sound of deliverance. There are those for whom the trumpet sound is muffled but leads them toward safety. And there are those for whom no deliverance comes at all. What do we think about God when the trumpet doesn't sound? A word of explanation, I suppose, is in order. This past summer, I preached a sermon called Lost and Found, in which I talked about being lost in the Talladega National Forest, and not only becoming lost, losing the trail, but also losing the 10 kids for whom I was responsible. One of the most terrifying moments of my life. And finally, I found the kids, but I never found the trail. And after a long day of fruitless searching, it was dusk and a drizzle was falling upon us, and I was getting ready to bed all the kids down in pine straw, completely defeated. And we had a prayer, and we said, "Lord, please show us the way home. We have gone as far as we can." And as God is my witness, no sooner had I said amen than I heard the sound of a trumpet. And all of us recognized it was the sound of the trumpet calling the main camp to supper. And we hopped up and we hadn't run 100 yards before we saw a light. The light of a street lamp that marked the outskirts of camp. Somehow, some way, we had gone all the way around the wrong side of the mountain and come within 100 yards of our camp. And when we most needed it, the trumpet and the light brought us home. Contrast that story with another camping trip, church camping trip. I'd taken a group from Charlotte to the Apple Tree Group Camp where I take y'all, and we'd had a wonderful day of river rafting, a wonderful meal. And a couple in the church said, "We're going to take a little hike and kind of walk off dinner." Two very intelligent people, healthy folks. We didn't think anything about it. But about 10 o'clock that night, one of the youth came to me and said, "Dr. Krimmer, the Hickses haven't returned." I organized five groups of two, sent them five different directions with instructions not to go more than 45 minutes in any direction lest we lose more people. And I was part of the group, and I can remember crying out, "Scott! Kimberly!" and hearing dead silence. And when we all gathered back that night, we huddled around the campfire and held a prayer, "Lord, please bring Scott and Kimberly back to us safely." Meanwhile, Scott and Kimberly were out hopelessly lost in the woods, and they too were praying, "Lord, show us a way home." And we slept that night very uneasily. And Scott and Kimberly slept out on the cold, hard grounds thinking about snakes and bears. And I was in my tent that night. I started thinking about those two situations. Hadn't the prayers that we had just prayed for Scott and Kimberly been just as sincere, just as heartfelt as the prayers that those kids and I prayed in that pine straw? We had been delivered by a trumpet and a light. But no trumpet sounded that night for Scott and Kimberly. True, deliverance did come. Early the next morning, our camp post found them wandering along the highway, going the wrong direction, and managed to bring them back to us safe and sound. But for many people, deliverance does not come. My great mentor and my good friend, Dr. Frank Tupper, longtime professor of systematic theology at Wake Forest Divinity School. And Frank had the excruciating experience of losing his young wife to cancer at age 40, leaving behind two very young children. And Frank spent his career reflecting on that issue of how does God provide for us, all of us. And shortly after his wife died, one of his former students called him to say, "I am dying of cancer." And he said, "Dr. Tupper, I need to know, is God arbitrary? Does God love some people more than God loves others? Does God love the people that healing happens to more than God loves those whose cases are terminal?" Has God turned God's back on me? And Dr. Tupper responded, out of the depths of his own struggle, "No, my friend. God loves us all. And God is actively engaged in all of our lives. And God does whatever God can to bring us to a positive purpose. And sometimes that means healing. And sometimes it does not." In Betty Tupper's case, God did all God could, but Betty died. And so did this young man. The people we call the Magi, those astrologers that saw God's celestial signal that something important was about to happen. They showed up in Jerusalem thinking everyone would be excited, only to find they were the only ones who had noticed the portentous event. And they went to Herod to ask where the Messiah was to be born. It was an era that introduced violence into this story. Why, if God was going to warn the Magi, didn't he warn them before they reached Herod? Maybe God did and they just ignored the unction of the Spirit, or maybe God was trying to use them to turn Herod's heart to worship the Christ instead of suppress him. But Herod was free to reject the Messiah and was free to wreak violence and destruction. Yeah, the story of the wise men is wonderful in one way. It's a story of faith and celebration and epiphany. But the wise men were warned to leave. And so they escaped the violence that they incited unwittingly. Joseph and Mary and Jesus escaped to Egypt. But the vengeance of Herod was wrought upon the infants in that area in Bethlehem and the surrounding region. Did God care less for those babies than he did for baby Jesus? I think Frank's answer is true. God was involved in those infant lives too. But God's initiative and work was countered by the paranoia and the violence and the hatred of the Roman government and King Herod. In this horrible story, we see the interplay of divine redemption and human viciousness all at work together. People sometimes say, well, God can do whatever God wants, whenever God wants. But that's not the biblical presentation of God. Where is the nature of God revealed most powerfully? On the cross. The critics of Jesus claim they want an all-powerful God. Hey, if your God, your so-called heavenly Father, will bring you down off that cross, then we'll believe. But instead, God gives us a Christ, a Savior, who hangs in excruciating, suffering, creative, redemptive, vulnerable love. That's the God revealed to us in the Bible. Not a God of absolute power, but a God who works within human events, works within those open to God's will and those opposed to it, who allows violence and evil and destruction, but moves within it to turn it toward a redemptive purpose. If we had some magic formula we could say, some doctrine we could recite, some ritual we could perform that would guarantee our safety, would guarantee our deliverance, that would be wonderful in one sense, but it would mean faith wouldn't be faith. If there was something we could do that would guarantee God's protection of us from all harm, it would be wonderful in one sense, but it would mean our faith would not be faith. Sometimes God works in such a way that we hear the trumpet of deliverance. Sometimes that trumpet sound is muffled, but we can follow it to safety. And sometimes deliverance doesn't come at all, but God is always working with us to assure us we are never separated from the love of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Years ago, I watched a PBS special on 9/11. And it featured a man whose faith in God had been shattered because he said God should have thwarted those terrorist missions. God should have blinded them. And if he didn't blind them when their planes hit the towers, God should have upheld those towers long enough for everyone to get out. And because God didn't act in that miraculous fashion, God was not worthy of worship. But his concept of God was a cartoon concept of God, divorced from the revelation of God in Christ. How much truer was the insight of the artist who collected the mangled steel from 9/11 and formed out of it a crucifix to signal the presence of God even amidst that tragedy. In the same special, there was another man who had experienced the miraculous deliverance of God. One of the wings of the plane landed within 20 feet of his office, and he was unharmed. He said, I felt God giving me the strength to break through a wall and flee to safety. But even though he knew God had given him the strength to survive, had gifted him with more life, he was angry at God over all the people who did not make it out. And he had a right to be angry. The mothers in Egypt lamenting the loss of their children had a right to be angry. Those mothers in Bethlehem had a right to be angry. But here's what we have to remember. It's essential to remember that God grieves with those mothers in Egypt and those mothers in Bethlehem and those who lost loved ones at 9/11, and with all of us in our anguish, in our sorrow, in our distress. And God does what God can to move us in a positive direction, to move all of creation in a positive direction. Yes, God has created a world where tyrants can rise, where evil can reign for a season, where the powers of destruction can seem to be supreme, but those are never the final answer. God will always move to bring light out of darkness and good out of evil and a positive purpose even out of the most destructive history. God does what God can to move all of our lives forward. Everybody has certain stories upon which their faith is grounded. This is one of mine. Betty Tupper, Frank's wife, was nearing the end of her long battle with breast cancer. And by now, she wasn't praying for healing. She was just praying that God would release her from a sense of anger and a fear of death. The fact that she was leaving a man that she loved and two small children she cherished far too soon in her estimation, it didn't make sense to her. And she felt like she had wasted her life. And she asked God for some sense of purpose. And one morning, as she's at her desk praying, she suddenly feels enveloped by the Spirit of God. She feels uplifted by the presence of God. And then she hears something completely unexpected. Children laughing. It was a regular work day. The kids were all at school, but it was disturbing enough that she got up and looked out the window. There were no kids in the neighborhood. And that's when she realized she was hearing the sound of children laughing on the other side. She realized she was hearing children laughing in the portals of heaven. This great peace swept over her. A great peace swept over her. And when her husband came home, she said, "Frank, whether I leave you tomorrow or months from now, it will be okay. It will be okay because I've heard the sound of children laughing on the other side." God did not deliver her from cancer, but God did deliver her from a sense of meaninglessness. God delivered her to a sense of peace, and she knew she would enjoy the laughter of children in the portals of heaven and in God's presence. Sometimes the trumpet sounds so clearly and we are delivered. Sometimes the trumpet is muffled, but we hear enough to be safe. Sometimes we don't hear the trumpet at all. But we can live with this assurance. God is active in our lives, whether we know it or not, whether we can feel it or not, to bring us ultimately toward God's positive purpose. May we pray together. God of grace and goodness, real life is an interplay of light and darkness, life and death, strength and weakness, moments in the heights and in the depths. But may we know that wherever we find ourselves, you are there with us. You are providing for us. Through the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.